Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Our aim at the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand and enjoy your Bible. So every time you watch one of these programs, we're going to be looking at the Bible. Have you ever watched a pit crew in action at a NASCAR race? I'm kind of a little bit of a NASCAR fan. But in less time you watch it, in less time than it takes most of us to put on our seatbelt and adjust the mirror when we get in our cars, a pit crew has changed four tires, filled the gas tank, cleaned the grill, washed the windshield, given the driver a drink, made a wedge adjustment to the car so it handles better. All happens in 12 to 15 seconds. Happens so quickly and so efficiently because each crew member knows his job, has developed that job, practiced that job, and does his part well. It takes a lot of people to put on a race. If everyone wanted to drive, though, it would be chaos. It's the same, though, with the pit crew. If everyone wanted to change the tires and no one wanted to fill the gas tank, the car wouldn't have a very long ride in the race. And likewise, in the body of Christ, we've all been equipped with different skills and different gifts to do certain tasks. Some drive, you could say. Some change the tires. Some fill the gas tank. Some wash the windshield. Each job is just as important as the other. For the body of Christ to fulfill its purpose in being a light to this world, we each need to do our part and develop our skills and then do it efficiently by grace through faith in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says this: "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." The analogy of believers as a body is unique to the epistles of Paul. No other writer of Scripture mentions the church, the body of Christ. The reason this is so is because of this dispensation we are living in. The dispensation of the grace of God is a dispensation that had been hid in the mind of God from eternity past. And it was first revealed to the Apostle Paul, who revealed the new church for today, the body of Christ. Paul had a unique revelation, the revelation of the mystery. And this is why only the Apostle Paul speaks of the body of Christ, as it was a truth unknown before him. Within this dispensation, only believers from this present age are made part of this spiritual organism, this one new man, as Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. We find through Paul that the body of Christ has a unique gospel by which we are saved. We are saved by faith alone in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Entrusting this for our salvation, a distinct baptism then takes place by the Holy Spirit, who spiritually baptizes us and identifies and joins us to Christ and places us into the church, the body of Christ, where Christ is our head and we are his body. And Paul, speaking of the human body, says in verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body." The human body is truly amazing and complex. It functions with unparalleled harmony and interrelatedness. Yet it is a unit, a single unified entity. Even though it has many parts, it's still one body. The human body has many parts with a necessary diversity in its members, and the parts of the body are dependent on the other parts, with each part fulfilling an important function, and it all works together as one. And Paul says in verse 12 there, "So also is Christ." In other words, so also is the body of Christ. Christ's body is also one, with many members functioning together as a unit. The human body consists of many parts which constitute a single unified entity, and in the same manner is the church the body of Christ. We are part of one body with the individual members constituting different parts of it. And God has designed the body of Christ to function like a healthy human body, each member fulfilling its specific role, working together in harmony with the other parts and members of the body for the spiritual health and the spiritual oneness of the body of Christ. First Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Verse 13 explains how we become members of the body of Christ and how the body is formed. And we find very clearly there, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It's through the operation of the Holy Spirit. The one baptism of the day, the Spirit baptism, identifies and places us into the one church of today, the body of Christ. There are many religious organizations and denominations and groups of every sort, but there is only one true church, the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is made up of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have placed their faith in the gospel of salvation, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. National origin, social, political status, male or female, rich or poor, all these make no difference within the body of Christ. We're all one. We're all one body in Christ. Galatians 3:28 says, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, when you study Scripture, you find that there definitely was a difference in the past under Israel's prophetic program between Jew and Gentile, as Israel had a higher position in the time past over the Gentile. But now under grace and in the body of Christ, there is now no difference between Jew and Gentile. In this dispensation of the grace of God, God is saving souls out of every single nation all over the world who simply place their faith in Christ alone and in His finished work. And by the Holy Spirit, at that moment when they place their faith in the gospel, they're spiritually baptized, joined together into the one church, the body of Christ, making us one with Christ, one with each other. According to verse 13, being members of Christ's body, we are also then given the Holy Spirit, as he says that we've all been made to drink in the one Spirit. So from the Spirit we drink, we are given spiritual life, spiritual strength through the Holy Spirit, as each of us have the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 through 19. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body?" Richard Love wrote the following. "Sir Michael Costa, the celebrated conductor, was holding a rehearsal one time. As the mighty chorus rang out, accompanied by scores of instruments, the piccolo player, the little pint-sized flute, thinking perhaps that his contribution would not be missed amid so much music, took a break and stopped playing. Suddenly, the great leader stopped and cried out, 'Where is the piccolo?' The sound of that one small instrument was necessary to the harmony, and the master conductor missed it when it dropped out." Richard Love writes, "The point? To the conductor, there are no insignificant instruments in an orchestra. Sometimes the smallest and seemingly least important one can make the greatest contribution. And even if it doesn't seem to make that big a difference to the audience at large, the conductor knows it right away. And Richard Love continues with this too. He says, in the church, the players in the instruments are diverse, different sizes, different shapes, different notes, different roles to play. But like the piccolo player in Sir Michael's orchestra, we often, in our own sovereignty, decide that our contribution is not significant. Our contribution couldn't possibly make a difference. And so we quit playing, stop doing what we've been called to do and given to do, and we drop out. But the conductor, the Lord, immediately notices. From our perspective, our contribution may be small, but from His, it is crucial. Some piccolo players have dropped out of the orchestra for reasons like pain, exhaustion, insecurity, criticism, laziness, misbehavior. Convinced that their contribution doesn't amount to a hill of beans in the bigger scheme of things, they bury their talent in the ground. The verses before us show us that each of us in the body of Christ, each and every member is vitally important. Nobody's a nobody. Everybody's a somebody. Each has a central role in the church. Many of the Corinthian believers were not happy with their gifts, and many in the church wanted a gift that someone else had. But Paul says the body is not one member. In other words, we simply cannot all hold the same position in the body of Christ. God has graced different people with different abilities, and God in His wisdom and sovereignty has placed each member in the body where we will be the most useful for Him. God set the members as it pleased Him, it says there in verse 18. The honorable, less honorable, and comely, uncomely members that Paul refers to, that's just from man's point of view. And you see that in verse 22 where he says, which seemed to be more feeble. And then in verse 23 where it says, which we think to be less honorable. That's what we think, what seems to us. But from God's vantage point, all members of the body of Christ are important. All members are needed. And that's what Paul says in verses 15 and 16 here. Should the foot complain that he's only a foot and not a hand or the ear, that he is not the eye? In other words, the foot is a part of the body, and it's an important part. The ear is part of the body, and they're both needed. And for a body to be a body, and it's got to have different parts and different diverse members. God doesn't want us to wish that we had a different ability or a different position in the body of Christ. He placed us where we are. Verse 18 again says that God hath set the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. So to be dissatisfied with your place in the body is to be dissatisfied with God, who placed you where you are in the church. As members of the body of Christ, we have a particular function to perform. And our burden in life should be to perform that function as well as we possibly can and in the strength of the Lord for His glory. God doesn't want us to envy other people's gifts and position in the body of Christ. And He also doesn't want us to judge others who may not have your gift as well. Some are prayer warriors. Some are evangelists. Some are teachers. Some are pastors. Some give. Some rule, some show mercy and compassion. Some minister by caring for the poor, providing for the sick, or watching over the local church. We're not all eyes, in other words. We're not all hands, we're not all feet. Well, I hope you are, we're not all ears. If we're all one part of the body, like the eye, Paul says in verse 13, then how would we hear? If we're all an ear, how would we smell? In other words, if we all had the same position in the body, how would the body work? How would we minister? It would not even be a body, as verse 19 shows. But what you see, though, is that the diversity in the body of Christ allows the church to reach more people, to help more people, to minister to more people. The church is most effective with its members faithfully performing the different ministry that God has called each of us to do. Many in the Corinthian church here felt that with their gifts that they weren't important, that they weren't needed in the body. And with envy and selfishness, they complained about not having a more visible position in the body of Christ. God does not want us to be disgruntled or to try to be something we're not. He wants us to accept the position He has given us in the body of Christ and to serve the body and serve Him, knowing that He sees each of us as vitally important to it.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
For nearly 80 years, the Berean Bible Society has endeavored to encourage believers everywhere to study God's Word. With this foundation, the believer is equipped to grow spiritually and energized to effectively share the gospel. Through the tools of both traditional and electronic media, we are positioned to reach our world well into the coming generations. Streaming lessons, printed materials, audio teachings, and daily devotionals are all available at the BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 through 22 says, "But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." Verse 20, Paul turns from those who were discontented and disappointed with their position in the body to those who boasted about theirs. All of us have deficiencies. None of us are perfect or gifted in all areas, and this is why we need each other in the body, so that the ability of others in the body can compensate for our deficiencies. And that's why we are to honor one another in the body of Christ as well. Sometimes believers can fall prey to the notion that we really don't need other believers. But John Wesley rightly said, there is no such thing as solitary Christianity. Whether we realize it or not, we are interdependent, mutually dependent on each other in the body of Christ. This is by the design of God. He wants the body of Christ to work together, to be His hands and feet, to reach out with Christ's love and grace to this world. The first person in this passage in verses 14 through 19 says, they don't need me. The second in verses 20 to 24 says, I don't need them. This passage tells us that some underestimate their importance to the body, and then you see that some overestimate their importance to the body. But in God's eyes, each member is equally important to Him and to the body as a whole, and so every person should be honored. Paul says in verse 21, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Because if an eye sees a penny on the ground, it needs a hand to pick it up. And if the head wants to go somewhere, it needs the feet to go. Nobody in the body is self-sufficient, and not having the same abilities produces this strong interdependent relationship between the members of the church. Paul says that those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weak are necessary. Those who seem to be more feeble in this verse again are so just from a human vantage point only. This verse is clearly seen in the ministry of the local church. The people that are not out front or up front, they are necessary. They're the lifeblood of a church. The ones who faithfully attend, those who pray, those who give, who undergird or are involved in the less noticeable ministries of the church. They're involved in the cleaning, home Bible studies, and vacation Bible schools, and youth groups, and prayer meetings. They're reliable, they're dedicated members of the body, and they're frequently the greatest channels of spiritual power in any assembly. The silent saints are often the ones greatest used by the Lord and will be the most richly rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And we even see here in verse 24 that he'll give more abundant honor to the less visible but faithful members of the body of Christ. And those who minister in these ways and in these less noticeable ministries are often subject to neglect and lack of appreciation, which is to the shame of the body and should not be. A number of years ago in the America's Cup, a 12-meter sailboat race held in Australia, America won 4-0, and many were thrilled. Dennis Connors was the one who led the project and the one with all the glory. He was the one seen holding the trophy and in the middle of the ticker tape parade. But Connors was not alone, and he didn't accomplish that on his own at all. A whole crew of people worked around him as he skippered that boat. A TV documentary did a piece on this, and it showed the people on the crew aside from Connors. One of the crew members never even sees the water, and he goes on every one of those races. He never gets to enjoy watching where the other boats are in the race and how close they are, it might be, to the finish line. Instead, he gets continually drenched by the ocean waves. He works down underneath in what's called the sewer of the boat. But his duty, according to even Connors himself, makes that race possible for that boat and makes it possible for them to win. God has tempered the body together, verse 24 says, and he has composed or mixed and joined the body of Christ together so that we all need each other. He's made it so that every single part is useful. Every single person is needful. No one is unimportant. Verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Paul says that there should be no schism in the body. And as we know, and schisms in the body happen. People do not always get along in the church. Pastor Charles Swindoll tells the story of the woman who had been bit by a rabid dog. And after a period of time, she went to her physician. And the physician told her that she had developed a severe case of rabies. She quickly asked for a pencil and a piece of paper and began to write down names of people. The physician thought she was writing out her will, and he said to her, "How long do you plan to make your will?" And she said, "My will? This is no will. These are the names of people I'm going to bite." We learn here how we need each other and how we're joined to each other in the body and how every believer and every ministry should be honored. We should have the same care for one another. We need to equally support and encourage one another. Think of when a speck of dust blows into your eye. Instinctively and without thought, the eye is rubbed with a finger. There's no debate with the finger about whether it should help the eye. This is the kind of care God wants us to have for each other, a reaction to help one another, because you're one with each other in the body. And when one member suffers, you feel it. And you feel it when another member hurts, and then you rush to their aid to help. And we should honor one another, be grateful for one another. Feelings of jealousy should just go out the door. When one member is honored, like it says here, we should naturally rejoice with them and praise them and praise the Lord for them. Being members of one another, we have an obligation before the Lord to treat one another with the utmost respect and with grace. No one is greater, no one is lesser. We each just have different responsibilities. God has placed us in the body as He saw fit. We should have the same care for one another. God's instructions here are that there should be no competition, rivalry, envy, attitudes of inferiority or superiority in the body of Christ. He wants us to care for, love one another. And this is possible as the members of the body of Christ exhibit the mind of Christ, who is the head of the body. Next time, we'll return to our study of the book of Ephesians and look at the gifts Paul spells out in Ephesians 4 and God's goal for the church. In 1 Timothy 1:15 says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ is that Savior. He is the one way to God. The issue of salvation from our sins and from hell is not what you can do for God, but what God has done for you. It's not us trying to reach God, it's what God in His love and grace has done in reaching down and coming to us and sending His Son to be our Savior. God Himself provided the way to be saved through the death of His Son on the cross and His resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 reads, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." 2 Corinthians 5:21 teaches, "For He, that is God the Father, hath made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Christ died for us. He died for our sins. He took our sins on Himself, and He paid sin's penalty for us. He took our place. As our substitute, He endured the wrath of God against our sins so that we don't have to endure that wrath forever in the lake of fire. To have the righteousness of God and a home in heaven forever, we each have a personal responsibility to make a decision to believe God. God has given you a free will to either accept or reject what He has done for you. To have God's free gift of salvation on the authority of the Word of God, all you need to do is trust that Christ died for your sins personally and that He rose again. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." At that moment in time, when you place your faith in Christ alone to save you from your sins, you are declared righteous forever by God. You are forgiven of all of your sins. You are given the free gift of eternal life, and you have the sure hope of heaven, and nothing will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If you've never made this decision, please trust Christ to save you right now.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.